Hey there, you've reached Claire. Leave me a message.
Claire, it's Anne. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply. Free. Call 1-800-861-7555. That's 1-800-861-7555. 1-800-861-7555.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 848,000th installation of...
You're really loud.
Foodie and
is he really loud, Andy? He sounds
loud,
really
Andy?
Loud. Yes.
Well, that's because I have this big radio voice. Anyways,
yes, you do. Pull back.
Welcome to Foodie and the Beast. David and Nikki Nellis. We have a great show today, including a martini battle.
It's an Artini
so
battle.
The Corcoran's,
in studio, gauntlet thrown.
The Corcoran's annual Artini event is coming up. Artini chair Lindley Thornburg of Heather Freeman Associates, an old buddy of ours, is in, along with Diana Caw of the Corcoran. And
who insists she's not going to say anything,
She'll say something.
She'll say one little
and
thing.
We have two of the city's premier mixologists in here who are going to duke it out. Oh, yeah. Alexander Buklis from The Passenger and Joe Cleland from Oyamel. And we're going to be mixing up some artful martinis, and we're going to be taste testing.
Well, yeah, and everybody was inspired by different art, so we're going to get to hear about their inspirations, which should be very exciting. Okay, later in the show, we're also going to be talking tea, which is one of my absolute favorites. I drink gallons and gallons of tea every day. And we have tea somm Robert Rexwaller of the Park Hyatt. He's in to pour some tea and also talk about the Park Hyatt Masters of Food and Wine. And he brought with them the new chef at Blue Duck Tavern. His name is Sebastian Auchembeau. Did I say it right?
I believe so, my
Excellent.
Darling.
Yay. All right. So we'll be talking with them about that later. And in studio with us, we have Guy Gollin. He is the sommelier over at J&G Steakhouse. And they have a whole bunch of new things happening over there. In fact, I just heard that you guys are going to be launching a sake program come mid-March. Guy, you want to step up to the mic and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm representing J&G today.
Uh-huh.
And we are going to feature sake during the Cherry Blossom Festival. We do want to have a beautiful representation of Junmai sakis, which are 100% rice wine with no spirit added. So you'll have two different sakis to taste from, and that's going to be on our list.
And do you like sake? Are you a sake drinker?
The ones I tasted were fabulous. They were delicious.
Really?
How does sake go with a steakhouse? I guess in Japan they...
Maybe,
well, the steakhouse, of course, J&G is not your traditional steakhouse.
No, that's true.
It does have the Asian flair in Chef Jean-Georges von Gerichten's food, which always has something else to it. The sake is going to be a beautiful complement to some of our appetizers, like the bacon-wrapped shrimp with a papaya sauce. With the sake, it's going to be
You know,
delicious.
We had him in here probably 2 years ago.
2 years ago, he was in studio.
He had the best complexion I've ever seen.
He must get a microdermabrasion every day. His skin was gorgeous.
I mean, he looked, to this day, we remember.
He was. I was like, how do you get your skin
like that? And then, of course,
Nikki,
who was starstruck, was all over him. She said, oh, you have a little speck of this on your face.
Oh, he had glitter on his face.
Let
he
me
did.
Move it for you.
Ginger. Lots of ginger.
Lots of ginger. All right. Green tea and ginger. We'll find out more about that later.
Guy, what are we going to start with first with you?
Do you like sweet wine or dry wine to start? What is your preference?
I like wine.
You like wine?
Yeah.
When you say sweet wine, what do you mean?
Well, something with a bit more residual sugar to it, not necessarily sweet, but, you know,
we talked
about...
Do you mean like a Riesling?
About...
Are you talking Riesling?
No.
Okay, good.
How about a Pinot Blanc?
Oh, I love a Pinot Blanc.
There we go. So we'll start.
I have to be honest with you. Every time a wine person comes in, everybody wants to sell a Riesling. Everybody's like, no, this one's different. No, they're not. I don't like them. I don't think they're good. They do not resonate with me at all. But everybody's like, no. The one I'm going to pour for you, you're going to like. And I'm always like, okay, I'll try it.
I think that you might like this one very much. Also, you know, it's important. We talked about Chef Jean-Georges and, Alsace is very important to us.
Of course.
So this is Domaine Weinbach 2010 mm-hmm. Pinot Blanc, which is absolutely delicious.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your wine program? I mean, how long have you been with J&J?
I've been with J&J for 6 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit about the wine program. We have an extensive beverage program. Features handcrafted cocktails, also handmade sodas, and then a wine list that focuses on... You have Pinot Noir, American Pinot Noirs, also some Old World Pinot Noirs, Cabernets, mm-hmm. anything that a good steakhouse should have.
Well, since you came in just 6 months ago and it was a wine program that had already been in place, how do you come in and sort of add to that or put your own spin on it?
Well, I was very lucky, actually, with the list already to be in a very, very good state.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I just wanted to add wines that are a bit more unique just to J&J, and we'll actually talk about that shortly okay. later.
Excellent. Oh, good. I'm ready for it.
He did his own segue.
I know. I love that.
Well, then let's talk Artini. Lindley and Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Diana's ready to not talk.
No. When you put a mic in front of anybody, they're like, okay, maybe I'll say a couple words.
Lindley, you're the Artini chair, so tell us about the event and who's benefiting and, you know, the kind of who, what, when, where, why.
Of course. So this is our fifth annual Artini event, and each year throughout the month of March, we tap 12 of the city's leading mixologists. We try to get them from different parts of the city, from Adams Morgan.
Wait a minute. Both Joe and Alex preened when you said leading mixologists.
Leading mixologists.
Like, I didn't preen.
They both straightened up.
You're very blasé, Alex. Alex was like, I did not preen at all. Okay, go ahead.
So this is the first year we have the Passenger and OML participating, so mm-hmm. we try to have mixologists from different parts of the city participate, and they each create we call it an Artini cocktail. So it's a cross between art and martinis. They're inspired by different works of art at the Corcoran, mm-hmm. Permanent collection. And throughout the month of March, we have what's called feature nights. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, it's essentially a happy hour at each of the 12 participating restaurants. We invite everyone to come in to the different restaurants from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. where they can try the Artini cocktail. And then on the 31st of March, which is a Saturday, from 7:30 to midnight, we have all the 12 restaurants there creating their Artini cocktail, as well as we have a DJ and we have a dessert buffet, and people can come and vote for their favorite.
So that's how it's all public vote, right?
Correct.
Is that how it works? Everything is based on the public.
And we partnered with Washingtonian Magazine, so people can go to www.washingtonian.com/Artini mm-hmm. and they can vote for their favorite.
Okay, great. So now when is the first event? It's coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. We are at OML on Tuesday night, Tuesday, mm-hmm. March 6th. And from 6:30 to 8:30, as Lindley said, people can come hang out with other members of the Young Professionals Group from the Corcoran, the 1869 Society, and people will be sampling Joe's delicious cocktail there.
Well, let's get a little bit about the 1869 Society, because I don't know if everybody understands
sure.
what it is and what its goals are.
Mm-hmm. It is the Young Professionals Group from the Corcoran. Everyone in the group is a member of the Corcoran in general. And also, you know, it's just a way for young professionals in the city.
When you say young, how young?
We market it as 25 to 42, but, you know, we don't.
I'm
still make
up.
It.
There you go.
I still make it.
There you go.
I'll come and be an usher.
So that's the sort of the target range for the 1869 Society. For Artini, you know, we certainly don't discriminate. Just 21 and up.
You can come to Artini, honey.
Definitely.
You're allowed to come to that.
Will my walker fit through the
I don't think so.
We'll
have to leave that one at home.
And this year's Artini benefits ArtReach, mm-hmm. which is an art education program celebrating its 20th year this mm-hmm. year. They have different events, after-school activities for children in the D.C. area, about 300 kids.
Oh, all right. Well, all right. Well, let's get Alex up to the mic.
Well, first of all, let me just say what we're setting up here, and it's a little bit of a surprise. Both Joe and Alex are going to create their Artinis, and then Lindley, you're going to have to pick the winner today.
Oh yeah. On the spot.
Yeah, you're on the spot.
No.
So, Alex, tell us about you and the passenger.
And... No, and Diana, you're in on that, too. Don't think you're out. The two of you are judging.
That's right. And then both of you are going to have to back unbiased. Out of the room.
So I'm Alex Bookless. I'm assistant general manager over at The Passenger.
Yay.
And yeah, we're lucky we actually got.
I'll do that for you too, Joe.
I'll do it for you too, Joe. Passenger over on 7th Street and.
Okay. Well, so let's just say the Passenger is connected to the Columbia Room. Columbia Room, Derek Brown does the back, Tom Brown does the front. It's a big happening space around
my
town.
My wife knows too much about this bar.
Well, I was with Derek on Tuesday night. We did a rogue session together. And then everybody went over to Passenger, but me.
All right. That's it. You know what? Nobody cares about you. Alex, let me ask you this. How do you, to get your inspiration for your Artini, do you go to the Corcoran and just walk the halls and see what hits you?
Well, actually, we all chose a piece of art from the Corcoran to make a cocktail kind of inspired by it.
But did you go to the Corcoran and look around, or did you look through a book? How did you find a picture?
No, I looked through some pictures of different pieces of art, and one really struck me. It was actually a sculpture, and it's called They Shoot Horses, Don't They? By Rob Fisher.
Okay.
And it's actually kind of a dark piece because it's...
you couldn't tell that by the title.
Yeah.
No, it's very uplifting.
Well, visually, it looks like kind of this geometric object with lots of squares that are clear and kind of light refracting against them and red and blue. And it looks really pretty and really nice and peaceful. But the title comes from a book that was written in the 1920s called They Shoot Horses, Don't They? And some people are familiar with the book, and they made a movie
about it. It's about marathon
dancing. Yeah, marathon dancing.
I actually saw it when it first came out. That's scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now you're definitely not going to our TV.
Yeah, it was in black and white. No words. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no words.
So.
But,
just dancing.
But at the end of the book, one of the couples in the marathon dancing competition, the lady asked the gentleman to shoot her, and he does. And then when the cops come and they ask him why he shot her, he says, they shoot horses, don't they? Kind of implying that he was putting her out of her misery. And so
don't bring the level of the show down at all.
I know.
All. Keep going,
it's a downer. Sorry. So we're all going to have a cocktail.
Nikki thought that was called They Shoot Husbands.
But so the piece of art is very pretty, but I think it's kind of showing. It looks to me like a downwards turn ship, like it's mm-hmm. going under. Mm-hmm. So
what's in your drink?
So my drink is visually going to look like the piece of art. I have ice cubes made from watermelon, from coconut, from various fruits mm-hmm. to kind of catch that geometrical look. And then I clarified lime juice and made a margarita with Herradura tequila, Cointreau, and some orange bitters and Hellfire bitters.
What are Hellfire bitters? I saw that little bottle over there.
Yeah, they're bitters.
Are they spicy?
Yeah, they're really spicy.
Yummy.
Yeah.
You know, I've always found lime juice to be very confusing, and I'm glad you clarified.
Oh, God.
I just wait all show for one of those.
He just had a zinger.
I lighted it up.
Given it to him. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so do you want to get mixing on your cocktail?
Yeah, sure.
Wait, what are you calling it? Is it the name of your art piece?
So my drink is called The Dance.
Okay.
All right. Wait. So is this available at the Passenger, or is it just for this?
It's just for the Artini competition, and it will be available on Tuesday, the 27th, for our Artini Happy Hour at the Passenger.
But will you introduce it into the mix at the Passenger after
Well,
this?
The thing, probably not, because the thing is, at the Passenger, we don't have a cocktail list. We kind of just ask you what you like, and we go from there. We do have some cocktail suggestions, but we never have a list of cocktails that we carry all the time.
Plus, this sounds very time-consuming
with the ice cubes.
I mean, you're going to have to really plan ahead for it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to ask you to start mixing.
Okay.
And we're going to have to take a quick break.
Sure.
We're going to get to you later in the show, Joe, and we will certainly keep Lindley and Diana in here to judge the competition.
And after tasting the wine that Guy poured, we're definitely keeping him in here.
Yeah. Guy, I really do like this. I think it's a delicious wine. Yeah. All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Carmine's, New York's legendary family-style Italian restaurant, is also here in D.C., serving up huge platters of real good, no-kidding Italian food in 9 private dining rooms. It's like a trip to a big Italian family dinner, with extra-large portions of antipasti, pasta, seafood, and meat entrees served up on huge sharing platters, all reasonably priced. Carmine's is just the way it used to be at Grandma's house, if your grandma was a real no-kidding Italian. Carmine's on 7th Street near the Verizon Center. Anywhere else is forget about it. Call them at 202-737-7770.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
How do you follow the Marines? All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're moving things around here. We're now turning to the upcoming Masters of Food and Wine event at the Park Hyatt in the Blue Duck Tavern. And we've got executive chef, the new executive chef, Sebastian Archambault, in with us, and Robert Rex Waller, who's the tea sommelier. And
he's making some hot water.
He may be the only tea sommelier in the world. I don't know. Is he?
No.
Well, I ain't never heard of that.
Well, that doesn't say much. Let's not brag so early in the show, shall we?
All right, chef, so first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
This is your first time on the show, so you're a virgin, right?
Correct.
Okay, we're about to break you in here and give you the once-over. Tell everybody where you came from.
I just arrived from California last December.
Now, you have a very California accent. Yeah.
But the best part is I was born in Texas. So I'm the
what?
First. Yes.
Wait a minute. You were born in Texas?
Correct.
Get out of here.
Yes, no, it's
and
true.
And then what happened?
I just born over there, and I flew away from to grow up in France. And I just arrived 4 years ago in California, and I moved here.
So are you an American or are
yes,
you French?
Yes, I'm American and French. French, both.
What a lucky dog.
I know, how cool.
Where in France did you grow up?
Southwestern France, close Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. So there's very good wine, seps, foie gras, ducks, all that food.
My God, I grew up in Bethesda.
Right, not That's nearly
so
as
boring.
Exciting.
No,
so
my
now
accent.
How did you wind up at the Park Hyatt?
I opened the Andaz West Hollywood, so mm-hmm. it's part of the Hyatt Corporation. And right after that, so when Brian was moving, the company called me if I want to go back to this beautiful place that I accept, because it's a fantastic place, fantastic hotel, with a great team. So I'm more than happy to be here.
The more I listen to Chef, the more I hear your Texas accent. It's very
it's nice. Coming out slowly but surely.
So, well, and we know Brian well, and we'd eaten there many times when he was there. What are you doing to put your own stamp on the place?
Well, and I've eaten there since you've been there.
Oh, I don't know.
Sorry.
You
have? Yes, I have. I've
well,
eaten
what
there.
Was I doing?
I don't know. Probably babysitting the children.
So you need to come together.
Yeah.
I almost said one of the 7 words. Okay. But I didn't.
No, but I mean, Brian did run that restaurant for quite a long time. So how do you come in and sort of maintain it, but then also put your own twist on it?
But the Blue Duck Tavern concept is very strong with the fact of using all local ingredients. Mm-hmm. Using all ingredients, this is a very strong concept that Brian developed and did very well. So I will not jump on it and change everything to put with my hands, but mm-hmm. I will twist it slowly and slowly. So we just changed some dishes on the menu 3 weeks ago, and we follow up
with the spring. So I put in my experience and my little twist, doing some research of the history, American history, some old recipes, try to twist them a little bit using the wood oven, burning oven that we have on the kitchen is available
from
the guests.
Which is magnificent, right.
This open kitchen. So just want to not to change, but to pick up our brand.
Freshen up.
Yes, exactly. Meet new suppliers. Bring some new proteins on it and play around with that.
Well, one of the things that Blue Duck Tavern is really well known for is its connections to the farmers. I mean, you even feature them on the menus. So were you able to, you know, pick up where Brian left off as far as the relationships were, but how do you go about reaching out to new farmers?
So we will go as soon as I went to Bethesda Farmers Market last week. We invite some farmers over there. We have some... the first baby goat was on a restaurant last week on Friday. So we met, interact with people like for the oysters producer. And we go and we try and I will go over there meeting them. So I'm building it and it takes some time, a little bit, but it's a big wish for me to meet them.
Now tell us a little bit. So the Park Hyatt does this Masters of Food and Wine. This happens 3 times a year? How many times a year? Four times. So it's seasonal.
Yeah.
Okay,
season,
so it happens 4 times a year.
Yes.
So tell us about the overall concept and how the local Park Hyatt is participating in it.
So overall concept, in every Park Hyatt around the world, they are doing a seasonal event. So the goal of that event is to bring the local producer, farmers, whatever is local, it could be wine, could be coffee, could be meat, it could be cherries that we are coming now. And it's to bring them around the table, around the dinner, around the cooking class, to be able to share and chat with the chef, with the farmers, with a number limited of guests. It's very, very intimate. So people can ask, okay, your cheese, your goat cheese is unique. Yes, we are doing like that. The goats are coming from here. Pairing with that kind of wine we are doing from Virginia and whatever. This very intimate moment.
So how many people can attend?
So we have the cooking class with Peter Brett, our pastry chef. He's doing a rhubarb and cherry
And where is the class? Is it in the kitchen at Blue Duck Tavern?
Yes, it's part of an open kitchen on Blue Duck Tavern. So intimate, 6 people will be over there, no more.
Okay.
No.
And then you're doing, we're going to get to you on tea. Don't worry, we're coming to you. So you're doing a lamb dinner.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So at 7 p.m. after the cooking class of Peter, we'll have a dinner, a little bit more for 12, 14 people on the chef's table on Blue Duck. And so as I said, we'll use a whole lamb, used from the head to the tail. So we are doing a 4-course menu with...
Not including the wool, though.
No.
Okay. just
that's stupid.
I'm making sure.
That's not even funny. Don't even laugh at that.
I think it's funny. He laughed. And he's a chef.
I'm very polite.
I like you. You're no longer a virgin on this show, pal. You just became my favorite.
All right. So we'll use the lamb, the shoulder, braise it with a lamb consommé, so it will be very fresh as little appetizer. After we go with a risotto, with a zucchini risotto and a little lamb meatball and little chop, just roasted like that. And the main entree will be, of course, the leg of the lamb, roasted on this wood oven, burning oven. So we bring it on the table, we slice it over there.
It does sound good.
With some spring garlic, some roasted potatoes on the same big pan on the oven. So
now, is there a wine person who's doing this dinner with you?
There is a wine pairing, yes. So there's one pairing with that. It will be open grace wines. This is a goal to have all this interaction with this producer and this pairing wine.
Excellent.
And food.
And people can buy tickets to this now.
Of course.
Excellent. Okay, great. All right. T-Man.
Yes, ma'am.
T-Man. Robert Rex Waller.
You are the tea sommelier.
I am.
How does one become a tea sommelier?
I was actually a Chinese language and literature major at Connecticut College, and you can't learn Chinese without drinking some tea along the way.
I'm sure.
And so I studied.
You can't?
No,
no.
It's absolutely
a prerequisite
impossible.
For the culture.
It is a prerequisite. You don't like tea, they won't let you into the program. It just won't happen. And so when I studied abroad there, I also spent some time in Japan, and I traveled all around China. And I came back, and I realized I knew I knew more about tea than the average American, and so I just...
Well, the average American, yours truly included, only knows Lipton's, mostly.
And, not this average American.
And, no, there's nothing average about
Lipton.
No,
Lipton is a fine tea, but I really love drinking...
It's really not a fine tea.
Yeah,
it's
you don't
terrible.
Have to be nice.
Let's not be nice.
And they're not sponsors, so
no, they're really
the hell
nice.
With them.
My God. No, it tastes like acid.
Do we have sponsors I need to mention?
No. No.
Okay, just
no,
checking.
Not,
I'll take
care of, not yet.
Excuse me. I'll take care of that later. How do you spell Blue Duck?
But no, I really like drinking single estate teas. Mm-hmm. I'm a really big fan of Pu'er teas, and I really love
what's
classic.
A single estate tea?
Well, I mean, just take Lipton, for example. Let's take most bag teas that you're going to buy in the supermarket. They're blended teas, so they're going to taste the same every single year.
Every single time.
I mean, their level of consistency is phenomenal, but I really like, you know, tasting what the weather brings, the individual hands of the tea maker coming in and growing this, you know, mm-hmm. from bush to cup. So,
but when you talk about like green teas and oolongs, I mean, all different varieties of
yes.
teas. Are there some brands that hold up to a higher standard?
No, brands or varietals of tea.
Well, I guess are there some brands that put out excellent varietals?
There's lots of very, very small companies that are sourcing really mm-hmm. phenomenal teas. Mm-hmm. Garrett Chan from Tea Leaves in Toronto.
Okay.
He is he's actually going to be coming for our Masters event, and he has some really wonderful teas.
That was a subtle plug. But
well,
why
we're going to get there.
He's right here. Why okay. don't you talk about that? Because
So Garrett is coming down for our Masters event at the end of March, and he will be doing a tea tasting. But he'll be educating the palate. He won't be tasting just a single.
Now, is that on the
tea.
24th as well?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
It's like all day. It's like the class, the tea, the dinner.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to have to take off of work.
Yes. but he'll be talking about the difference between different qualities of tea, because mm-hmm. there's different levels of quality. Mm-hmm. How to educate your palate, how to taste.
When I was little, you know, every time he got sick, the first thing my grandmother did was boil up a pot of hot water and shove Lipton's down it, you know, so I have grown up disliking tea.
And I didn't grow up disliking tea, but I grew up with Lipton, and I think I was probably in high school when my parents moved into Harney & Sons, which started
right.
becoming big. So I really grew up with that same thing as well. So
tell us about the tea program at the Park Hyatt.
We've got about 40 different varietals of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of my selection of aged pu'er teas, as my aged pu'er teas vary in price from $12 to $300.
Well, for people who don't know,
okay,
what
oh,
a
sorry.
Pu'er tea
pu'er teas is are
like my husband.
They are fermented teas.
Boom.
Okay.
When you see those tea bricks, those tea cakes in
right.
In photographs, those are pu'er teas. They've been fermented, and they have a very, very earthy flavor. And my staff always makes fun of me because every time I talk about pu'er teas, I say, well, the first time you taste one, it's going to taste like your grandmother's basement.
Yeah, it's strong. They're strong.
They're so strong. But once,
how many people actually lick the floor of their grandmother's basement, however, to
no,
know what it tastes
no,
like?
It's a mental image.
It's
I know
a mental
where you're
image.
Going.
You
that
go
moldy,
down,
smelly,
that moldy, musty,
stinky.
Yeah. So, like, but it's
my grandmother lived in an apartment, Robert. So that, but
well, the apartment complex is basement then. But
I have an apartment complex.
Once you get past that initial. Surprise, you'll be able to really taste some wonderful caramel and, mm-hmm. and coffee and earth notes in there.
And what about some of your other teas? So you have this magnificent program. Tell us about more.
I've also got some really great herbal teas. I have a really fabulous Fields of France Rooibos, which is a South African tea. So mm-hmm. it's a South African tisane, actually. There's no actual tea in there. But it's got lavender, a little
bit
of...
A tisane just means no tea leaves,
no
right?
No tea leaves. It
so it's more floral?
It's much more floral.
Okay.
It's much more floral. But it's rooibos is... drunk all over in South Africa, and that's mm-hmm. a really interesting floral tea. I have a great first flush Darjeeling, which I have for you here.
Great.
And first flush means that at the beginning of the plucking season, it's the very first time they go out and pluck the leaves, because they'll pluck the leaves every 4 to 5 days. They'll take the top two leaves in the bud. The very first time they do it, that's a special. They set that aside. They'll set the first two or three aside, and then just start. Plucking the rest of it and blending it all together. So.
Well, but all teas are from the same plant.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Green, white, all of it.
Everything. Camellia
sinensis.
So is
it just, it all depends on when you
it
pick
depends
it?
On, first, where it's grown. Mm-hmm. Second, where, how it's processed, how much it's oxidized. White teas from Darjeeling are going to be completely different than white teas from Japan.
Okay.
I mean, there aren't a lot of white teas from Japan. It's pure processing as well, and how it's stored. So.
Okay, we have to take a break.
By all
means. When we come back, we're definitely going to try some of the teas.
I had a great joke about being drunk all over in South Africa, but I think the moment has passed.
The moment passed. Yeah. It's over. It's over. Okay. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a second.
The 2012 Leukemia Ball toasts 25 years of making a difference on Saturday, March 31st at the Washington Convention Center. For its silver anniversary, the 2012 Leukemia Ball will feature performances by legendary classic rock band Foreigner and comedian Sinbad, along with dinner, dancing, the Mercedes-Benz raffle, and a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines. There are more than 19,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending the area's largest one-night non-political black tie gala. They're celebrating 25 years of service, and you're invited.
To purchase a ticket, please call 703-399-2900, 703-399-2900, or visit www.leukemiaball.org. You don't want to miss this great event.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and I have to say I'm having fun.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah, let's go back and talk to Guy Golan about the next pour.
What did you just pour us?
What did we just get in our glasses?
All right, so you asked about the input on the beverage program, and this is where it comes in. When you get to put this wine that is amazing, also for patio season, also for summer and year-round for any...
I know, when you look outside today, it feels like summer is right around the corner. There.
Absolutely. This is called Chacoli.
Okay.
And this wine, yes, is from the Basque region in Spain. It's made of two obscure grapes, Undurrabi Zuri and Undurrabi Belza. And it's a really, really
cool wine.
Say
that five times fast. No, I'm just joking.
I try. And this wine not only comes close to the sea, gets a little minerality, but also, yeah, exactly.
It's really dry. It's unbelievable.
What they do, yeah, it's very dry. It does have some floral notes to it. Some fruit, and then they put just a touch of CO2 before they bottle it, so you get that effervescence.
Yeah, it's just a tiny bit.
And
it's
when you go in the
Basque
region in the small villages, the bartender will do this long pour into it on almost fluted glass, and that will be served with their grilled prawns and all the fruit de mar. So this is where it comes in to, once again, to complement the food, a versatile wine, an interesting wine that is unique to J&G Steakhouse.
Well, since this is not a well-known wine, how do you educate people who come in about it? I mean, how do you sort of say to people, this is a wine you should really try?
So first you have to put it by the glass.
Okay. That makes
but
sense.
It's fun. It's the whole team, we trained a team about the wine to talk about it with their guests. They love it. When they fall in love, other people find out about it, and they come back for it. Also, the wine bar that we have.
Downstairs.
The wine bar downstairs.
Space.
It's a really intimate setting, gorgeous views. You know, you can see the monument from there. It almost
Not that I would, but it's a really good place for, like, an affair.
Oh, it is. All private events.
Do you know what I mean? It's, like,
it's so secretive and fun,
and, like, it's, like, nobody knows it's there.
I know my lips are moving, but for once I'm speechless.
All I'm going to say is private events coordinator.
Okay, excellent.
She can help. But moving forward.
All I'm going to say is I'm going to be spending more time down there.
So that area
Do
is
you know
very...
I mean? You know what I mean, though? It's like so like cozy and intimate. Yep. I just think, you know...
Well, wait a minute. How come we never go there?
We've been there.
Yeah. Or you have to attend one of our events.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's going to be one of the sake events that we're going to do. Or one of... any of the wine dinners that we did recently, we did a wine dinner with Linden, a four-course wine dinner, which was...
That's a Virginia winery, right?
I'm sorry?
Is it Linden, Virginia?
Linden, Virginia.
Yes.
We just did a wine dinner
We've
with them.
We've had that one.
Also, just recently, Catoctin.
Oh, we love Catoctin, too. They've been in studio.
We did a big event with them. It was great. We're thinking about...
Catoctin you in a minute.
We're about to do another event with them on the patio at G&G, and then once again, the area just... The wine bar serves almost as a headquarters.
So talk about, when's the patio opening?
March 12th.
Oh, soon. You have heaters out there?
We don't need heaters.
You don't need heaters.
We got wine.
Because all those people are having affairs and they're all like,
yeah. Oh, my God.
There will be heaters. There's a lot of solutions.
Never say that to someone who's insecure, okay?
I can't say too much, but there's going to be, there's a lot of things that are on the way happening and on the patio.
Well, for people who haven't been there, we've been on the patio together. We had brunch there.
Don't try and make up on me.
But it is a fabulous space with all the great people watching.
It is.
Walking down it by.
You know, you can connect that with the Cherry Blossom Festival. That mm-hmm. You know, the whole area just becomes festive.
Absolutely.
The whole area. So in honor of that, we're going to have the sake that is going to be featured. We're also going to have a Cherry Blossom cocktail mm-hmm. that is made with gin. Made by Catoctin from Virginia, because local ingredients are important.
See, now when you say Catoctin, you can't help yourself.
I always want to say Fakakta.
And it's another cocktail that these cocktails that you made here also reminded me of. It's really delicious. That is going to be offered at J&G, the Cherry Blossom Cocktail.
Right. All right, we have to get into tea.
Yeah, we're going to go back to tea now. Well, I've already sipped.
Right. So
don't say a word. Robert...
Yes.
All right. You have to pull up your bike so we can hear you as you're pouring your tea. Okay. So tell us about the two teas you brought.
So I brought a Dragonwell tea, which is my personal favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very classic pan-roasted Chinese green tea. I mean, when you go and ask for green tea in China, it's what you're getting is Dragonwell.
Okay.
And I also brought the First Flush Darjeeling, which I've just received the most recent vintage in, so it is.
What does that mean when you say vintage?
It just means that it is the fresh plucking. So
okay.
it's was plucked.
Now, are there aged teas like a wine? Are there vintage teas?
Yes, only the Pu'er teas, though, not any green or black teas.
Pu'er is the fermented
Yunnan province only. So that's where they're.
Is that the one that they like dig? In caves, in holes,
yes.
and bury.
Yes, it
okay.
is. Yes, it is. It
right?
is. It's a basement tea. It's Granny's basement tea. Yeah.
Granny's basement tea.
So I'm going to start you off with the Dragonwell, which is just a really nice, clean, crisp green tea. It does have a little bit of astringency to it,
mm-hmm.
but nothing that is
We can share.
Overpowering.
We'll share. Pass it down. Oh. So now, what about all the presentation teas? I mean, what are your thoughts on those? I mean, are they just for looks, or do you feel like they can really bring something to the table?
I was very selective with my with my menu in terms of performance teas.
Okay.
Because traditionally,
is there a difference between performance teas and presentation teas?
I think we're talking about the same
thing.
You know,
I'm talking about the ones that bloom.
Yes, the bloom, absolutely.
Like the big, huge flowers come out.
Yes, the mm-hmm. performance teas and presentation teas, usually aren't going to taste very good. They've been so manhandled and just in making sure that everything looks great
delicious.
When it blooms that I don't know how better to put it, but the innocence of the tea is lost in a way.
Okay.
And
oh, brother.
Nikki knows what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
I lost my innocence. Trust me. I lost my innocence about 7 minutes ago.
But I was very selective, and these are teas that still have that wonderful flavor. I've got a really great jasmine blossom tea that so blooms, but the jasmine that is there just
remains
smells
intact.
Like fresh jasmine.
Well, that's my other question. So sometimes you can find a tea that's like mm-hmm. a knot, like a fist, you know, and there's our jasmine and other green teas, and they're a bud.
Right.
So is that a whole, what is that? Is that a
bud? It has been, it is several plants that have all been plucked and then are tied, and then they put hibiscus flowers or little rose hips in mm-hmm. them. And then they when the leaves are still green, they will and haven't dried yet, then they boil them up, they let them dry. Okay. So when it comes to you in the pot or in the cup, then it will bloom.
And is that a quality product, or is it too manhandled? Are you better off with a loose tea as opposed to a full bud?
If you're going to be buying that retail somewhere else, I would recommend just getting the loose leaf tea, because mm-hmm. you're going to get a much purer product.
Now, do you sell teas at the Park Hyatt, or you can only drink teas there?
You mean you're more than welcome to come by and buy any of the teas that we have. I mean, mm-hmm. I would love to walk someone through all of our teas and have them be able to take some home, because our teas aren't available retail anywhere else. So okay. If you come and see us and you see me and we talk about tea and you want to take something home, absolutely, I'd be more.
Well,
than
we've
to do
I've
that
actually
for you.
Done a tea tasting there, yeah. which was a presentation of 8 teas.
Yeah.
So is that something that you still offer? Like, if somebody's like, I have a friend who's majorly into tea, and I would love to do like a tea tasting instead
absolutely.
Of a classic tea.
Absolutely.
Can you walk them through like
of
you
course.
Used to do? Okay.
And we offer our afternoon tea service, which is a more of a traditional offering on Saturdays and Sundays between 2:30 and 4:30, which has
so few places do that anymore.
I know
love
there's
that.
It's mostly hotels now, but mm-hmm. But we actually just Chef Sebastian recently redid the menu, so we've got a really great fresh offering there.
Okay.
And but if you come in during that time, my staff are really well trained, but I'm also going to be there, so I'm all more right. than happy to walk anyone through.
Well,
any
I am
going to
move
number
us
of teas.
Off of teas onto the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert. Joe Cleveland,
step up to the mic.
Now, Joe Cleveland was up until 4 in the morning, and the fact that he made
I
it in
like,
here.
I was like, wait, I was up to 4 in the morning.
I went to bed at 6 a.m.
Okay, there you go. So you didn't go to bed.
All of you guys. No, look at your right. night owls.
I just was at work until that time.
Somebody sleep. Nikki,
no sleep.
Nikki was asleep
no
on the
sleep.
Couch uh-huh. and drooling. No, okay. Well, I got back. All right,
really.
So Joe, quick 411 on you. How'd you get to OML?
Oh, long story, man. I lived
okay,
in New
we
Orleans.
Don't have that much time, make it short.
I was born in a log cabin.
I lived in New Orleans before I moved to D.C., and I got into cocktails down there. So as soon as I moved to D.C. and found out it was
good
a drinking
place to
town,
do it.
I started bartending. OML... There is an opening, and I snatched it up, and
I like that you're
tequila.
Rocking the festival.
I am. We have
emblem.
A festival starting
yep,
this week.
It
tequila
today,
and Mezcal
right?
Festival tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay,
yeah.
tomorrow. Very
so
cool.
I hope everyone comes out for that. I love tequila. I like highlighting tequila, and I like making cocktails. I'm doing a drink for the Artini, which mm-hmm. kind of lets me be creative. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't be creative, if I didn't have a creative outlet, and cocktails does that for me. So I'm very... glad to be part
it's
of
just
this
as
this
if
year.
When you drink them, it makes you think you're creative, Joe.
That might be that, too. Yeah,
it
I'll
adds
go with that.
Fuel to your
oh,
creativity.
So creative.
It makes me go crazier, and then I feel like I'm creative, yeah.
All right, so what's in your drink?
What, no, but so, what inspired you?
I just like Alex, I went through a whole bunch of slides, mm-hmm. and I picked a drink or image called Conviviality Near the Inn.
Mm-hmm.
It's an image of a whole bunch of people in front of an inn. It's oil on canvas. It's people eating and drinking and having a good time, dancing. There's a mountain range in the background. The sun is just set, so the sky is still lit, but the painting's pretty iron rust kind of color.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the green from the hills and the mountains and the iron rust color, and I kind of went with that. Because OML is a tequila bar, and we are celebrating tequila and mezcal for the next 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
And conviviality, having a good time, I kind of just put them together. So I have a drink that has cognac, obviously tequila, green chartreuse, Cointreau Noir, a little bit of lime and a little bit of sugar, so it's a lot of booze.
Okay.
So it's kind of like having a tequila shot and a lime, just like when you're
but what,
young.
That, what kind of lime is that next to it? That's
it's actually
lime.
The same cocktail, so it's in two forms. It's a liquid version and a solid version.
Wait, hold that up. I need to see that.
Start in the middle a little bit, so I just
is it like a Jello shot?
Yeah.
Inside
come on.
Inside
it's a little bit
line.
More
oh
elevated
my God.
Than a Jello
that
shot.
That is brilliant. I love that. That is very, very cool. I just actually got a book sent to me by the Jello people, I guess. And that's the picture on the front.
Nice.
It's that wedge. I didn't know that that's what it was. Yeah. But it's supposed to, it's watermelon Jello inside a lime rind. And it looks like a slice of watermelon. But that is yep. awesome. How long does that take to do?
It took me about 8 hours from start to end.
Oh my God. So are you... selling those at the restaurant?
We are featuring them, especially the next 2 weeks during Tequila Mezcal. I'll cut back on production a little bit after that, but mm-hmm. if you come and ask for the Artini drink, we'll be serving it.
Okay, and your event is?
So mine is Tuesday, so okay. I hope everyone comes out Tuesday at
and people
6 o'clock.
Just, do they pay for this event, Diana, Lindley? How does this work?
The feature nights are all free. You can find the list at Corcoran.org.
/Artini. And we've got the list, the calendar of all the feature nights. They are free to come in, and 20% of the bar sales from each of those goes back to the Corcoran to support ArtReach. So that's a great way, if you can't make it out to the 31st, buy your tickets to that. Mm-hmm. Supporting each of them at the feature nights is a great way to support the Corcoran, support ArtReach.
Okay. And plus, I mean, now, do you guys have, like, little snacks out for people while they're tasting this drink, or are people just supposed to stay and hang out at
Well,
OML?
I hope they stay and have dinner with
okay.
us.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have to take a break. But before we do that, I think it's time to taste these drinks. So do you want to pass them around
yeah,
and let Lindley and Diana and David and I and everybody else in studio take a little sip? This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are tasting cocktails for Artini on air. We'll be back with the results in just a sec.
You tried this, right?
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Interested in boomboxes?
Yeah, I just got the iPhone 4S, and I want a docking system for when I'm at home.
Easy answer. The Insignia boombox with HD radio technology receives all the HD2, HD3 channels here in town and has iTunes tagging for your iPhone 4S.
Oh yeah, iTunes tagging is cool. Tag and buy songs you hear on HD radio stations.
Yep, and it's only $99.
Wow, $99 and works with iPhone 4S? Lead the way.
Learn about HD radio technology at hdradio.com. More radio, more value.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon Family Groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and getting progressively more cranked as we try wines and
Jello shots
and everything.
That's the first time anybody has brought Jello shots in studio.
Well, it's nice to know,
cool.
Nikki. Thank you very much. All right, so very quickly, I want to thank the people that make the show possible. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, the best bagels in town, maybe the only bagels that I know of that are.
They're delicious.
Gourmet bagels.
Well, and they gave us a tremendous fruit platter today.
They
which
did.
Was really nice.
God
and yummy.
Bless them, mate.
Yeah.
All right. So, and Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key. Our friends at the two Founding Farmers downtown and in Potomac. And the folks at Modus Hospitality, Notte Bianchi Dish and Circle Bistro are all their restaurants. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers, Bethesda Central Farm Market, and Caw Mines, the great Italian family-style restaurant down on 7th Street.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I have your earballs, we're going to be doing our next remote at Caw Mines on April 22nd. We had about 160. I was going to say
120.
I was going to say 159.
120.
People show up for that first one, Good Eats, and we had a great time. And we're doing another one on the 29th.
22nd. April 22nd at Carmine's.
No, you're not listening.
See, I am listening.
You're busy talking. On the 29th, we're going to be at the Birchmere.
That's correct.
Ah, I'm correct. So we're
but
doing.
But that's not for Carmine's.
That's for the Carpenter Shelter. They're doing a big fundraiser, and we're going to be coming to live from there.
Yes, that's correct.
So there.
Lots of ways to have fun.
Okay.
All right, so. Where are we going back to?
We're back to Joe.
We are back to Joe.
Oh, hey.
All right,
wait.
Joe, that was great.
Up again.
Joe's like, hey, I'm back. All right, well, I guess we're at our moment here. Do we want to make a decision now?
Oh, well, Lindley.
Where is Alex's drink? Did everybody get a taste of Alex's drink?
Alex's drink is delicious and
can
strong.
Can I taste what's in the water? Is it just watermelon? What is
that? Watermelon and coconut water frozen into ice cubes.
Oh, so did you like puree it and then put it in an ice cube tray?
No, the watermelon I just cut up into cubes and froze, and the The coconut water I froze into a block and then chainsawed it into cubes.
Shut up. You did not use a chainsaw.
Yeah, I'm serious.
I've been wanting a chainsaw for
okay,
a
see,
long
now
time
that I want a picture of.
Yeah.
Can I try? I want to try one. Can I taste
yeah,
one
sure.
of the cubes?
I
just
right
want to
here.
Taste one to see what it tastes like. They're really pretty. Both drinks are beautiful. I just want to say they're both beautiful and they are both very tasty. And the Jell-O shot was really fun. I just creative and fun. But I'm not a judge of this,
well, this
particular thing. Instead, we will throw it to...
Take
thank
this
you.
One and we'll give the chef one.
Okay, thank you. To Diana and Lindley.
Now,
girls, let's get your thoughts on both cocktails.
We do have security at the front door so that when you're done here, you can get out in one piece.
Mm-hmm. Safely.
Well, they're both fabulous. Seeing that OML is a client, I
kind of
have to.
What a sellout.
At least she's being honest.
I'm
at least
loyal
being
to
honest.
The client, and but they're both fantastic, and I think Diana has a different opinion.
I will say that if you go back to corcoran.org/RT, you can see the images of all of the artwork that inspired the cocktails. And I just love how evocative of the sculpture Alex's drink is. It really, the shape of the glass that she's picking, the ice cubes that she's using, the fruit cubes, it really reminds you of the sculpture. So I have to say, I think I like that one.
Oh, it's a tie.
It's a tie.
But honestly, I think what you have to say, Diana, is very true, that this is more than just about the cocktails. Mm-hmm. It is mm-hmm. also about art. And that's what is supposed to be happening
but both
here.
Both of these were really beautiful.
They're both
They're
really
delicious.
Gorgeous and very tasty. Okay, well, thank you all for coming in.
Wait,
we
let's
really
just make sure
it.
Once more.
Yeah,
if
the
I
final
wanna,
shout out.
If I want to attend Artini, how do I get tickets?
If you go to corcoran.org/Artini, you can buy tickets there. We have discounts for members of our 1869 Society.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said, proceeds all go to support ArtReach.
And if Excellent. You can't spell Artini, you don't deserve to go to
No. Now, Robert, did we pour both teas?
We did not. We only poured the Dragon Well tea.
Okay, do you want to pour the other tea now quickly? And then we'll get back. We just got a gorgeous red wine poured for us. And we'll go to that. But I want to find out about this tea very quickly.
Here, we can
so,
share.
Robert, you can pass that down.
Absolutely.
Now, which tea is it?
This is the first flush Darjeeling, so
okay.
from Darjeeling, which is in northern India.
So much darker than the other one.
It is. It's a lot darker, but generally the first buds and leaves that come out are the most flavorful and are going to be the most sought after.
Mm. Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the first one better, personally. I like a lighter tea.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're drinking a dark tea, it's like changing the color of your teeth as you drink it.
No,
I drink
all of my teas black, or I mean unadulterated, I suppose.
Right.
But this Darjeeling will lend itself very well to a little bit of milk and sugar or milk and honey.
But it's actually a sweet tea.
It is.
I mean, naturally sweet.
Yeah.
All right, great.
All right,
Chef and Robert tell us just one last time where people can find you all and the Masters of Food and Wine at the Park Hyatt.
You can find us online at blueducktavern.com and all of the contact information and all the information for our Masters of Food and Wine event on the 24th will be there.
Mm-hmm.
We still have tickets available, and you know, if you can't make it there, you know, stop by the restaurant. We're always happy to talk about our food.
Excellent. So. All right. Well, thank you both for coming in.
Thank
all
you.
Right. And Guy, let's get back to you. Before we talk about the wine, J&G Steakhouse has a really cool education series.
Just pull it towards you.
Education series that you guys are running, and we have a couple of minutes. You want to tell everybody about that?
Sure. We're big on having great food, great company, great wine, great cocktails. But also we want to share that with our guests. So, like I said before, you know, the Catoctin Creek dinner that we did, the sake event that we're planning, and also something exclusive for you, still and very much in the baby steps, is that we're going to do a multiple vineyard event at the wine bar.
When will that be? Any idea?
That's all I can say.
Oh,
so far.
This man is so secretive.
It's a big secret.
Yeah.
It's all very much in the planning process. We're going to do that. It's going to be very interesting to see some great producers and winemakers come out of Napa Valley to visit Washington, D.C. So that's a little bit about the education program, if you want to call it like that. I call it sharing, because this is what we like to do. We like to entertain. It's what we do, and making people happy. So if you want to ask questions and enjoy and learn more about sake or cocktails or wine, you're more than welcome to it at the wine bar.
But do you feel that some people are a little apprehensive to ask questions about wine? I mean, people don't like to look like, you know, an idiot.
I've learned that pouring
a problem with
that. Pouring another glass always helps.
I wasn't like tilting my head towards you or anything like that.
You know, how long have we been married? 15
years?
Not long enough. That's right.
Surely enough, when you have an event, Once the drinks start going around, people feel much more comfortable, mm-hmm. and everybody's asking questions. And no question, of course, is stupid.
Right.
So it's great to have that people.